right. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. This was a fun live roundtable we had. Turned into a roundtable. These things are live shows. The way the format works is the Six of Swords is the one-on-one interview, art, spirituality, and healing being the auspice of the entire show. We then have the Six of Cups, which is a pleasurable roundtable, and the Six of Wands, the live interactive show that I get to interact with everyone who is part of the Discord and Six of Swords, Six of Cups, Six of Wands, Six of Discs community. I've got to come up with a better name for this. I've been just calling it the Six of Shows for now, but that's nothing official or anything like that. But if you heard it here, you're allowed to tentatively the Six Shows or something like that. But then I might have to start two more shows. Oh no. How about we just stick with this one show that we're listening to now? How is that for now? This is the part where those who have donated 50 and up to the 200 point would get their notes read. So without further ado, back to the show. Hey, welcome back to the Six of Wands. This is episode 4 of the Six of Wands, and we shall begin, as we always do, with some verse. This is The Cloud by Percy Bysshe Shelley. I bring fresh showers for the thirsting flowers from the seas and the streams. I bear light shade for the leaves when laid in their noonday dreams. From my wings are shaken the dews that waken the sweet buds every one, when rocks to rest on their mother's breast as she dances about the sun. I wield the flail of the lashing hail and whiten the green plains under, and then again I dissolve it in rain and laugh as I pass in thunder. I sift the snow on the mountains below, and their great pines groan aghast. And all the night 'tis my pillow white, while I sleep in the arms of the blast. Sublime on the towers of my skyey bowers, lightning my pilot sits. In a cavern under is fettered the thunder. It struggles and howls. It struggles and howls at fits. Over earth and ocean with gentle motion, this pilot is guiding me. Lured by the love of the genii that move in the depths of the purple sea. Lured by the love of the genii that move in the depths of the purple sea. Over the rills and the crags and the hills, over the lakes and the plains, wherever he dream, under mountain or stream, the spirit he loves remains. And I all the while bask in heaven's blue smile, whilst he is dissolving in rains. The sanguine sunrise, with his meteor eyes and his burning plumes outspread, leaps on the back of my sailing rack when the morning star shines dead. As on the jag of a mountain crag, which an earthquake rocks and swings, an eagle alit one moment may sit in the light of its golden wings. And when sunset may breathe from the lit sea beneath its ardors of rest and of love, and the crimson pall of eve may fall from the depth of heaven above. With wings folded, I rest on mine airy nest, as still as a brooding dove. That orbed maiden with white fire laden, whom mortals call the moon, glides glimmering o'er my fleece-like floor by the midnight breezes strewn. And wherever the beat of her unseen feet, which only the angels hear, may have broken the woof of my tent's thin roof, the stars peep behind her and peer, and I laugh to see them with whirl and peer. Excuse me. And I laugh to see them whirl and flee like a swarm of golden bees. When I widen the rent in my wind-bent tent, till calm the river's lakes and seas, like strips of the sky fallen through me on high, are each paved with the moon and these. I bind the sun's throne with a burning zone, and the moon's with a girdle of pearl. The volcanoes are dim, and the stars reel and swim. When the whirlwinds my banner unfurl, from cape to cape, with a bridge-like shape, over a torrent sea. Sunbeam proof, I hang like a roof, the mountains its columns be. The triumphal arch through which I march, with hurricane, fire, and snow. When the powers of the air are chained to my chair, is the million-colored bow. The sphere fire above its soft colors wove, while the moist earth was laughing below. I am the daughter of earth and water, and the nursling of the sky. I pass through the pores of the ocean and shores. I change, but I cannot die. For after the rain, when with never a stain, the pavilion of heaven is bare, and the winds and sunbeams with their convex gleams build up the blue dome of air. I silently laugh at my own cenotaph, and out of the caverns of rain, like a child from the womb, like a ghost from the tomb, I arise and unbuild it again. Welcome to the Six of Wands. This is Six of Wands, episode 4, and we have just read Percy Bysshe's Shelley's The Cloudishes. So yeah, this is the live episode of the Six of Swords, Six of Cups, Six of Wands, and Six of Discs series. This is the live episode where we have the ability to check in once a month and do the Six of series with participants if it so pleases me. And sometimes we'll have occasional surprise guests that will pop on here that, you know, are as you might call kismet. So for now, just going to kick it around for the next hour or so. We've begun in the sun hour on the day of the sun. It's always pleasing to me. Things that have sunny aspects and sun dominated charts are nice. I have an affinity for it, though I do not have a sun dominated chart. I do have the Leo zodiac for my moon. That's the sun chart aspect that I have, and the moon's an extremely prominent part of the chart, so I identify with that. In fact, I like to point out that my moon is, to all who will listen, that my moon is the same one that was host to the Great American Eclipse. The Great American Eclipse, so-called, was the August 21st eclipse, the full solar eclipse that crossed America from northwest to southeast, and it was the 28-degree Leo moon that caused that eclipse. So I find that, of course, interesting as part of my, well, makeup, my whoever I am, however it is. So let's see here. What are we going to do tonight? Am I going to just watch The Simpsons while I pretend to be doing a podcast? Like, I could do that. I'm not going to do that, though. Well, got an exciting project underway, and that's going great. Don't really have much to say about that besides that that's underway, and it would be bereft of me not to mention that it is underway, but that's all I need to say, and that's all I will say for now. Those of you who have been listening to the show, who listen to the show, know exactly to what I refer. That being said, I had some interesting synchronicities earlier with the, I mean, seriously, I like to pay homage to No Agenda Show on this show. They are a very important part of my life in general, and I was listening to their show this earlier afternoon when they were starting, and they started to talk about the very same topic that I had just shared within one of the Discord channels. And it was just like, I shared that story and then they're talking about it, and then my name pops up in it, and like all these strange synchronicities. So, you know, you get the feeling that there are people who live their lives and, you know, have a religious bent maybe on what we call synchronicity. And there are other people who just completely never notice it. And then there are people who it just seems like it's the way that things are, right? And I think that's the people who listen to the show. It's obviously the green language. It's the green language unfolding. It's something, you know, partially what we think that we're manipulating, partially which it seems to be manipulating us. The hidden hand of heaven, the divine eye of providence, pure strangeness and wonder, the mystery. And I feel like this show is definitely part of that. I can see that our friend we have someone who could be with us right now, but they're in the Discord thing here. So this is nice. People listening to my show right now on the replay. Like, what are you doing? Someone is on the Discord, but not on the Oh well. That's okay. I guess I shouldn't be doing housekeeping stuff while I'm live. What have I seen lately? I've seen people who talk a lot about wanting to have empathy, and then it's like when it comes time to having it, they, you know, it's like I find that's one of those topics that like people talk about when they really need to be doing it themselves. And I feel like every time I listen to one of my shows that I've done, I'm like, how much am I holding myself to that standard? Am I really operating in that fashion? And I think about all the people across the world who don't even care about what operating fashion they are, or they operate actively, like, you know, either negatively or just chaotically, you know, as you would consider them. A good example would be from, you know, they're the nihilists from Big Lebowski. What I'm trying to say is that, like, as we continue, even this moment right now, there's no purposelessness behind even what I'm doing here. There's some kind of, you know, this might be practice for a greater thing later. The idea is that there's meaning behind all of these push-ups that we're doing, this daily moving the ball forward. And I find that's an important vestment to imbue even the current state with. It's a golden, someone asked me the other day what I meant about how I match my shows to the Fibonacci and how I'm making all of my episodes match up. And essentially, it's not so much just like some kind of gematria thing, although that can come later. What it really is just making sure that every episode that I have of the Swords, of the Cups, of the Wands, of the Discs is imbued with a certain quality that has a resonance that is Sophaonic. Miguel talks about the God above God. I try to instill some aspect of Source in what I do in each of the shows so that they're connected via some kind of jeweled ladder in that manner. So I think that's one way to put it for now. I think that's kind of helps to express what I was trying to say. And if you listen to the Six of Cups, of course, that's what I was referring to there. So anyways, yeah, I think that it's easy to say like you want to have empathy for people, but then like someone expresses a really cool idea and you can express like, you know, your acceptance or your disdain, or like outright, you could just say like you're afraid. And obviously I'm kind of like riffing off of my own experience, but like what I'm saying is that I would hope that people who are looking to expand their horizons really understand what it means to expand your horizons. Cause that's something I consider. I'm like, you know, as I go forward and as I learn more, you know, and of course it's up to me to ultimately be the arbiter of what really resonates and what's the truth, you know, to be the ratiocinator. Is that even a ratiocinator? Ratiocinator. I like that. Nice. And I think it's obviously incumbent upon anyone to have that aspect of you know, the view that what are you getting into? Like, do you really want to take on the mantle of what it really means to be conscientious and conscious? Because it's definitely somewhere where I think you know, you get lost if you follow one old tradition over another or another or another, I guess. But like, you also get lost if you think that you're going to reinvent the wheel. And obviously it's just my opinion, but it seems that like I'm trying to get it right, whatever that means. And what I'm trying to say is that like there are so many different kinds of new agey ways to say, okay, good, now we're gonna go this or this, or, you know, it's like you could take a hard kind of like, you know, very libertarian, like, oh, F the new age, and this is, you know, airy fairy stuff, and we need to be really real and militant. And obviously the answer is building, you know, whatever virtue within the individual so strong that the reality has to bend to that. Now, if you didn't understand the transition I just made, that's okay. But that's where we're at. It needs to be an imprinting so undeniable. So, like, I guess I really don't have a full understanding of all of the systems or the realities or even fully what we're in right now. And I think it's extremely complicated but simple. And at the same time, I think that the continual message that I'm putting out is continually attracting it back to me. And that's the upward spiral positive people. And I'd say that ultimately it's somewhere between, like, I would appreciate like Mark Passio style. At the same time, I do have a soft spot for the softy stuff. And what I'm saying is that Alex Gray talks about the great turn. And I like to think that that's a point where we're at. I think that it's always like seeming to be like a Marshall Applewhite apocalypse. You know, people could always say, you know, this is it, this is it. This is time for 5D ascension. This is the time for, and it's people just getting taken in by mushy words, and they hate it. They hate it. If you dare suggest otherwise. Meanwhile, some kind of like softcore porn, fucking archon sucking off of their, you know, energy sphere. Like, they're just like getting like the soft heroin. And I'm trying to critically address myself by understanding what, you know, what am I misguided about, or what am I not fully taking into account? And, you know, these are things that I care to ask. And I think that, like, it affords me a great freedom in my what people would call magical operations, or otherwise it, just the way I live my life and philosophically understand the reality around us. I think that right now I'll just take a moment to speculate on how there are people who feel that there's no real power in magic outside of a tradition, and other people say that the only real power is, you know, you can create your own chaos, whatever loosely termed chaos system. And I think that, you know, there's something probably true to both of those, and I'm not the arbiter of which one, you know, is going to be most efficacious. And while it may seem a cop-out to say whichever one works for you, ultimately whichever one works for you. And if you don't like that, then too bad. Too bad. It really is that, you know, there's Taoist systems that have probably never even entered the minds of Western men. And there are systems that have disappeared from, like, Göbekli Tepe, right? I'm sure there's all sorts of great ways of communing that would have had, like, a different effect on a cultural membrane of whatever the plasmosis was that was experiencing that perceptual alchemic, you know, reception, I suppose. It's just like things I think of, like, the metal goo. But, like, it really is iterations, variations on a theme. And I mean, you know, ultimately grapes make wine, you know, humans make psychedelic religions. And I think that it's really important to realize that, you know, well, it's easy to get upset about comparing different things and stuff like that. It's very important to realize that we are all humans, and that the similarities are at least useful, because I don't have the time in this one forward moving upward spiraling life to recount all of the things, right? I have to work with what works. I only have so much time. So, you know, plus I'm not like 17 right now. Am I? I don't think so. On the edge of it, maybe, but I think 16, maybe less, maybe a little more. But, you know, I think that we're all also being guided either by higher senses of self or other forces, spirit allies. I really don't know how it all breaks down. But it certainly seems useful to understand that, you know, it is helpful. I definitely pay homage, and I pay heed to what people call the Most High, or a monotheistic concept. The grand architect of the universe is another good way to put it. It really is. I don't think everyone has to embrace monotheism or even Christianity, because in a strange sense, you can say I'm Christian. It's like I said, strange sense, but don't worry about it. Even more Christian than some Christians are Christian. Yeah, if we are just going to whip that out and put that on the table, thump, drop that mic. But I think that it's, you know, and then I say that and I'm like, well, let me, you know, remove the plank from my own eye. But still, like, I guess that's what we were saying earlier. I'm trying to approach this entire magical reality with, like, a respect that, like, I hope that I'm getting over my selfish, egocentric needs to the degree that's necessary to maximally operate in this world for the highest good, while still utilizing enough of my own egocentric awareness that, like, I still have a kick-ass life. And I think that's important for everyone. You know, it's talking about how to be in the world as a continual example, because philosophically the transience of things are, it's, you know, we need these reminders. That's why McDonald's will disappear if you're not reminded. It's kind of true. You need hate for war. 2 minutes of it every, anyways, where am I going? So anyways, this is the Six of Wands, and this is a show about taco recipes and bouillon, and we also review rare archipelago based wineries. That's what we do on this show. Only wineries, only archipelagos, and only if they begin with a number is derived from a triple Fibonacci's. Okay. So obviously I have Joe Still over. It's not even nice to mention his name. Is it? All right. You can make it here, brother. You can do it. It's all right. People listening to this, the replay of this. All right. So New York coming up soon. That's exciting for me. I was going to, either do this live on tonight or next Sunday, and I'm doing it tonight because I will be trying to get the Six of Discs done, but also I kind of like recording what it was like right before the show. I'm really excited to go to the Killing Joke Tool Show in New York. I recently joined the York Rite, and I would not have been able to... Things wouldn't have worked out if I had gone to the Boston show. So things all worked out real nicely. And man, oy, what a busy, busy time this fall is, I'm telling you. But hey, it's good. Busy is good. And got my, got a lot of things. Got my music coming on. Got the shows going strong and on. And I continue to work on understanding further aspects of my lifelong work. I was thinking just in line with how I have to examine myself, how I'm like, you know, don't overthink this either. Don't forget that this is sheer joy in creation. And there's an aspect of that. And there's also an aspect I take very seriously. Like, I'm looking forward to having the experiences that I'm going to have. But in the same token, I'm grateful for the ones I've had and all of the illuminations and insights that I've been gifted with and granted. And it's such a pleasure to be dancing with this divine current, to be like starstruck, just as if in some kind of like fantasia. But at the same time, it's also something that I take as solemnly as, you know, the sword in the hand and the shield in the other. There are forces out there that would seek to vampirize and destroy humankind. It would just be as easy for good to just give in. It's the perpetual struggle, but, you know, the win is to continue. That's really it. Evil is saying that this ever ends. I heard that was a wise way to put it. It never ends. It's never over. We always have the courage to continue. No matter what it isn't, it's going to be a different challenge for everything. It's always going to be strife in a way, because things need to change. You know, there's always that alchemical process going. I would say the whole point is to make it as pleasurable as possible while we're here, because obviously we're here for some reason. And I think it's obviously development. And if it's just for mirth, then let us have fun too. At the same time, like, it's very important to realize that, you know, if we slip, if we miss the point and just go for only fun or something to that effect, or it seems that at the worst of times we'd be repeating the life over. But I think that there seems to be some kind of patterns that I've been recognizing in how nature works that shows me that inherently, without going into any detail, because there's completely unnecessary to do so, that it would be irredeemable to choose that path. So Stairway to Heaven style, two roads to go down, choose the other one. It's basically it. It's been a busy day. Some feedback on the Six of Swords that I recently released, that was really positively received. And actually the Six of Cups is being launched this very evening, as I mention this, and I will remember to blast that out later. But the Six of Cups is out, so people will be able to respond to that later. But yeah, those listening live to this right now are the first to hear that. Six of Cups is out, and I will put out some announcements later. But yeah, we had a lovely round table with a couple of autonomy members. But first of all, or back to the point, Chris Knowles was on the Six of Swords, and that's gotten some lovely feedback. A lot of really great, it's really great hearing how that's impacted people and positively synced up with people. Also, I liked what Chris said about, he said some nice things. I'm not going to go telling tales out of school, so to say, but he's real cool, and I appreciate it. What he has to say, not just that. It's really neat seeing how things match up too. You know, you start to feel like when you know something a couple of years back, and then things start to like shake out that way. You know, I've been seeing that all, a lot lately. I've got a good feeling about this life. You know, right now I realize that it's that where it's at. But this is where this is better than it's ever been. And, you know, I really appreciate the power of art. To circle back around to the people who have been appreciating the Chris Knowles. Because Chris, as an artist, is able to show us the power of how our minds are all connected, and how you can manipulate other people's minds by revealing particular patterns, creating certain archetypal projections. And I mean, I'm saying, like, read his, when his new book comes out, you have to read it, is basically what I'm trying to say. It's long and short of that. And I would say the upshot too is that you're gonna see yourself get better at your own art. I'm saying something here that I don't care. This is how I do. Take it or leave it. But I think that what's going to happen for the people who read, he will live up in this, and he will live up in the sky. I think you're going to see that there's some kind of like rubbing off juju on that. That's going to make you get your own. And if it's right, it's right. If you can confirm it's right, it's even better. If it helps, it helps. If you know, it is what it is. But that's just the impression that I get. Da, 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 da. I actually had royal oil stuck in my head earlier, but I didn't give in to it. I might later. That's a Boston band, ostensibly. So they say. No, I'm just kidding. It is. Jock McMurphy, so we're talking Boston bands. Anything, I have a lot to learn from Chris about Boston bands. Back in the day, I had no chance to get into a lot of different things. Just didn't really get a chance, but I did get into Jesuit. They're pretty cool. I've got their discography on vinyl. It's got some rad, like, I'd say, like, what was it, Rob Zombie, kind of like White Zombie looking, kind of like old Ed, what's his name, kind of like yeah. Anyways, just really rad artwork on that, but the music is viciously cool. And for some reason, Murder City Devils are coming to mind right now. But yeah, there you go. So anyways, There he is. I was seeing, there you are. Well, if you'd like to come say hello, Abra, you don't have to, but I'm going to, let's see here. Are you unmuted already?
No, I can.
Come on, Abra. Yeah, say hello. Hello, how are you?
Hello, hello.
How art thou, sir?
Ah, doing all right. A little sleepy Sunday.
It really feels like that. I'm totally with you on that.
Well, it's because yesterday was just super, super busy.
I'm sorry if I'm not quite sure. No, don't forget it's a podcast. You don't have to like talk about all your jazz if you want to, but like,
no, you're good.
Yeah. I mean, like if you want to say like anything, like why you were busy or anything also.
Oh, well, actually one thing to kind of talk about is you were, I guess, waxing poetic about the future. Cause this is kind of a weird big thing. So me and my wife were doing some errands and stuff and they opened up a local, like a new witch store. I'm here in Fort Worth. So, you know, fairly conservative town. Right. And, you know, so I was expecting to be a little bit crowded, you know, opening, but, you know, support local businesses, even if it's like your usual sage and crystal, you know, repertoire out there on the table, but there are like 300 people in line, I swear. Yeah.
Texas is pretty into the occult, though, overall. I don't mean to just as a point of fact, though. I actually, there is a pretty healthy occult community in Texas, though, despite that conservative, right?
Yeah, well, just, I guess it, I mean, it, you wouldn't think so, but I guess I'm, you know, I don't feel that old, but, you know, times have changed significantly. Because, you know, there was a time and place, because I'm 30 now, so I really came of age during the whole post-Columbine, you know, WWJD youth group, you know, zeitgeist that really took over post 9/11, post all that stuff. So that was my normal for the longest time.
Were you all raised a particular religion or a denomination?
Oh, Baptist.
Oh, that should go without a doubt. I guess like Texas, is that kind of like the most prevalent?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say my town was bigger with the Presbyterian church in town was a little bit bigger.
I was thinking Presbyterian. Reason. What about Pentecostal? Is that not so much down there?
Not too much where I'm from. There's, I remember one girl was, and she did the, I think she had the, you know, the garments and stuff she had to wear in school and couldn't wear marching band pants or anything like that. So, yeah, I think she's Pentecostal. I can't remember.
You know, one group that is treated as like, you know, and maybe rightfully so in some ways, but the Mormons get treated like weirdos, right? But like, I really appreciate, like, honestly, like, just from a magical perspective, like, and there's different approaches, like I was saying, like, I like what they got as far as from one particular brand, like the no drinking, no coffee, they really modulate the machine well. That just, I like that aspect. You know what I mean? Like that respect.
Yeah. Like and I've, you know, and honestly, I've not met too many Mormons that like irritated me. They're usually pretty nice, like as a general rule of thumb, they're at least very polite and you know, don't try to step on anybody's toes or anything.
I like them. Yeah. In general, like I, you know, it's like reverse racism in a way. Everything's nice about, you know, no, but really I agree with that general impression. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. It's some people that I've known that I've talked to that come from that church. You know, I guess when you leave a church, you're always going to have a little bit, not have the most positive things to say about that particular denomination or
something. Yeah, there's a reason you left.
Yeah, well, even with me. I mean, I actually wasn't on that bad of terms with, I guess, even Baptist churches. It just kind of, Plymouth Rock landed on me in this case.
Is that a thing that people say? That's cute.
No, sorry. Hopefully that wasn't appropriate for anything, but it was the best analogy I had to explain it.
Hey, welcome back to the Six of Wands. This is the Six of Wands, episode 4. In this, we get into a bit of, well, you know what? How about we just let you get into it? Let's do that. This is the point in the show where those who have donated from 200 and above, that is all the executive and associative executive producers. If you'd like to be listed as an executive or even better as an executive sole producer, or a executive producer, you know how it goes, Those are all available to you, and you can designate which episode you want to get the credit, or you can say for the recent one, and there will be benefits to doing that, mysteriously, he says. So, as it were, thank you for listening, and we'll get right into this live. This was recorded in November of 2019. This is the fourth episode of the Six of Wands, as I've mentioned, and thank you for listening. So, enjoy the show.
As I know, Aleister Crowley, of course, was raised by the Plymouth Brethren, right?
I didn't know that little bit about him.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's the same Plymouth or what, but that was his very the conservative upbringing that he was rebelling against to become the Great Beast.
Okay, yeah, I can. That makes sense.
What's your at this stage, and because like you and I are both like you, me, and everyone else we talk to basically is still pretty much at the early-ish phases of grokking what the hell magic is.
Yeah, that's pretty good assessment.
So I was wondering along the lines where you're at with gematria, numerology, and understanding like meanings of words and the power of why words have power in that system.
Ooh. So I've had some pretty intense stuff with the cipher this year in particular.
Awesome.
So I dropped a document up there in the Invisible Things. I was like, screw it, because I had a fairly intense synchronicity storm that
I read through some of that, and I make it a rule not to like really. That's like your subconscious you're putting on there. So out of respect, I gave a little bit of, but I, you know, guardedly. That's intense shit, right?
Yeah, no, fair enough. I was just, because at the time it was kind of a, you know, well, and that was kind of the bigger lesson of it too, was not to throw yourself into outer space without some form of grounding.
I have a fun one for you in a second though, but could finish what you're saying without some form of grounding.
Well, I'm still kind of learning that one. That's the reason I haven't had anything nearly as intense. Mostly just kind of taking it easy, because when you start doing especially synchromysticism and things start happening, but the new Aeon Cipher, which has gained some popularity this year thanks to things like Hellier, which is what got me onto it, because I really wasn't, I was unoperant for several years up until probably January, February, about in there. And then I found a thread, and then the whole roof came down.
So what do you find with your name when you plug your full name in? Like what's some of the weirder in the NAEQIO, that's what we're talking about, New English Alphabet Capella. What's some of the weird stuff that you've come up with?
Yeah, I really haven't done my name that much. I entered it in there just to kind of see. But I honestly, like, to me, that's not really how it works. It's almost like a ritual in itself. So... funny to talk about this because I worked with this stuff for like 3 months straight and got to crazy town pretty quickly. But, you know, because I kind of take the green, you know, Alan, the greenfield angle with it, with it's supposed to be sort of encoded in messages. But what I kind of found, it has multiple uses and things like that, but it kind of becomes a synchronicity generator in its own right. And the more and more of those that you get like kind of stacking up, it's almost like its own form of like magical initiation in itself. And so you'll start with small things and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're really, really wacky. And then I got on a weird thread that eventually led to like this weird paranoia sync with like a, you know, like a Coranzon event with like three guys coming to my door, like I guess TV men, but the timing on it was so personally significant that it freaked me out pretty heavily. Right, so not so much of my own personal name, but I had some other items and effects and certain phrases that come up, and we've kind of found a lot of correlation. I actually need to go back through and make better notes on it because it wasn't just me; it was other people too, and so everything kind of added together, kind of created this weird little sync storm, and people were getting apports and stuff like that. So it was kind of incredible.
If you can hear that, it's my alarm coming through. Didn't know if you could. Excuse me.
No.
Good. The group sync thing when the mind starts setting up like that, that's also interesting, because you wonder if it's you guys on the same channel or if it's just like, oh, so we're all the fingers of that hand, or is it something else? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some of it was fairly in your face. I think one thing for particular, I have a friend that's, you know, does tarot readings, some natal charts, stuff like that. Seems to be somewhat intuitive. And so I was just kind of throwing it out there because I had all this weird stuff. I'm like, do a blind reading for me. Why don't you? And she came up with some stuff and some that was more on the personal side, which did kind of come true. I'm not going to talk about those. But then for days afterwards, so I'm sitting here in the middle of this either Typhonian or like, you know, Aeon Horus current with the cipher. And she starts going like, who are Gavin Newitt? Like, who are these Egyptian things? Like, which blew my mind. And I trust her pretty much not to be pulling my leg on anything. So she was kind of researching stuff. And I'm sitting there going,
I saw how you said that. And I trust her not to be pulling my leg. You're like looking sideways. I trust her not to be.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty incredible that it came out of
Geb and Nuit. Now, Nuit, that's obviously, if I'm not mistaken, the sky goddess, right?
Yeah. Well, God, I'm trying to, because I'm not Egyptologist or Egyptophile necessarily, but if you look through sort of Crowley's like kind of personal cosmology or whatever, I believe those, you know, represent you know, the images of writing and casting and sort of like, you know, his way of sort of seeing how magic works. They figured in pretty heavily into his sort of internal cosmology. Somebody could articulate that better, but
I don't have my Egyptian book of magic to hand, although it's like right in the other room. But yeah, I have like the book that lists, you know what I mean? Like the so I could figure it out right quick, but not at this moment. But Nuit and Geb. But then you and I are also familiar with the relevance of Khafre to our current. But the less we say about that, the better, actually. I'll just say we'll mention Khafre, and that's all we'll say. But Khafre is another. But now, how did you get interested in the Typhonian currents? You're 30. How long have you been doing magic?
That's a tough one to say. I would say, I mean, you could say since I was a kid, but that would be a little...
I'm not quite sure I can go with that.
With direct intention. Geez. You know, the first badge of it was, I mean, it was synchromysticism, and that really was it. I had a kind of, and I kind of detailed a little bit there in that document, just essentially I would just kind of do these walkabout things, just red booking reality, right? And because I had an out-of-body experience, and it just completely blew my mind on stuff. So I'm sitting there, you know, 16, 17-year-old, nobody to talk to, you know, internet's still in its, you know, I guess we're in its adolescence now, but, you know, it's in its infancy, especially with stuff like that. So I think I found psionics at some point, but a lot of these sort of very, because I'm reading the Picatrix right now, so a lot of these like really rudimentary type of things that we all kind of take for granted, like, oh, everything's connected, or however you want to put that, you know. These little psilocybin revelations and stuff that come a little more slowly when you're having to, you know, divine it out of the earth itself. You know, interesting enough, you know, I was reading Stephen King's Dark Tower, so I would go around and we had a water tower that was unfinished in town, so I was like walking up the hill to like questing for it and stuff like that. So, was this very synchromistic, madman sort of way of relating with things, especially for a sober Baptist kid.
So but then you were kind of Tom O'Bedleming, or you were having your own Dane experiences. But again, we're not going to talk about that. It's so hard not to.
I know it's hard not to in this case.
It's so hard to.
But you know why that book resonates pretty well with me, especially that section. But then I guess after college is really when I read Pete Carroll. Actually, it was Grant Morrison as well on that one that he had an interview somewhere and, you know, came across it. And I was always kind of, you know, vaguely interested in it. And
was it the disinformation interview? Was it that one?
Actually, it wasn't that one. It was Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith.
Okay.
So because I was out of college mopping floors, night shift. with the bachelor's degree, as many of us were in that time period, and many of
what's,
us.
What's your bachelor? Is it of farts or is it of science or?
It's BS in psychology.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's fun. So, yeah, I got a triple major, triple minor. It took me 7 years to go through that, but yay, I got a piece of fucking paper.
That was my feeling. That was the sentiment as I mopped floors and listening to, that was kind of where my podcast obsession came through, keeping me sane. And then I, but Kevin Smith in particular, which, you know, I guess it doesn't age well in my mind, but I think he's, you know, still has some merit, but he was doing this Batman related podcast, you know, with young guys like Paul Dini and, you know, just comic book writers and stuff like that. But then he gets Grant Morrison on there, and Grant Morrison just starts talking about his cult history. And, you know, so, you know, at least Kev's a good host, because I think the entire time I'm just imagining he's just going like, what the hell have I done? Where's my show? So, you know, so having a guy like Grant that sounded that well-spoken, you know, just kind of going, oh, you know.
I'm glad we have the opposite problem on the Six of Wands, for example, because if we get someone who's normal on here and starts talking, like, you and I are going to be like, oh, God, what happened?
It's all good. But yeah, that was kind of the time period there. So then almost just kind of got dropped into my lap. My buddy's dad got out of jail and had a cult book collection.
Did you just say your buddy's dad got out of jail and an occult book collection? So what happened next?
So he has an occult book collection, right? God, I didn't even think about this until now. Like, that's where I got a lot of those books. Like, so he had a Libra Nolan Psychonaut in there, and he had some shaman books and things like that. So that was kind of my starter kit. I just got it for free. He was just like, yeah, my dad says you can, you know, he just gave these to me or whatever. I know you like weird, you know, stuff. You can take it.
The universe conspires. Do you work with Saint Cyprian?
No, not yet. It's that's been a newer concept to me, because I just now, because I was kind of because I did that for a couple, kind of on and off for a couple years, but I kind of had, I was, you know, it brought the psychological model to me, and a lot of stuff that happened when I was a teenager, I kind of bit behind as like, well, this is even too weird for the weirdos. And I kind of had to process that over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think I had to get better with myself in a lot of ways, and you know learn to be, you know, not learn that cynicism is not part of my personality, and you know, kind of move forward a little bit. So, and then it kind of started back in with just like, you know, I used to love Ghost Hunter crap and aliens and stuff, so I'll start listening to some of those, you know, slightly fringe podcasts, and then it kind of just spiraled up until, you know, probably the year prior to this one, until it finally got to February, you know, last December actually is probably when things started getting weird again. So, but I was fairly well read, you know, I did all that, did all the Philip K. Dick stuff and all the things in that vein, which I think are kind of a little bit better for building that modern metaphysics model than just trying to, you know, jump into the first, you know, Wicca group you find and trying to figure out magic that way, because there's a lot of baggage that comes along with that. So, you know, Terrence McKenna, Philip K. Dick, and I think that kind of created a foundation, and this year has kind of been the not all these spirits are in your head year.
It's a good year.
Yeah, so.
It's a fucking good year, pardon my language. I've been working my, you know, there's a few things, because there's like, you can go full chaos magic and like embrace all of like the extremes of all the, you know, I think it's archetypal enough that people can just appreciate it for what it is. And if it's not, then we can discuss that going forward. But I think that there's something that's, for at least me, you know, at least me, that this, it's radically, how do I want to say this? To me, it's radically enticing to embrace some forms of conservatism or conservative aspects. As I find that I want to balance out my shadow self and really go in there, you know, I mean, like, absolutely understand that the fight is not outside, that the truly, you know, the enemy is within in that way, and that ultimately, and I'm saying this to everyone, like, you know, Peter Lavenda quotes the Pogo comic strip and says that we have met the enemy and it is us. It's not something that people need to take in a self-hating way. In fact, that's going to screw up the whole process. But that is ultimately the biggest and most important battle on this planet. It's not about arms deals or cocaine coming from Afghanistan, or I suppose heroin, or cocaine and MENA and this, that, the other thing. You know, it really is not about who's being pretend elected. I mean, for sure, really seriously elected or whatever. I don't know. However it works. What do I know? But anyways, so it's not about any of that. It's really about you. It's really about you inside and like not letting yourself get away with the lesser stuff, you know. And if you're addicted to things, take care of that. Really, it's important to get out of your own way. You need to get free first before you can get free. I mean, it's for sure. People who are in that situation will understand that. And for real, ultimately, like I like to say, I'll finish my idea with like my white wolf. His face is just stained with blood right now. Like that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm at in this phase of my life, because I realize that the external is going to become so much more amazing the more that I actually build up this wonderful person I am. That's how I have to look at it. That's not how I have to, but that's what I have to look at. That's how I'm looking at it. And I think that I want to inspire that in other people, because it's humble, it's realistic, it's useful. And anyone can do it, and you know it's probably going to make a slightly better place than punishing you for this or that thought or this stuff. But it's, you know, it's still practical, because it's like nonviolence and this, that, the other thing. But you know, it speaks for itself, truly. And as I pack this bowl here, because the nice thing about the Six of Wands is that I have fire. One of the things that I do with this show for the fire theme is every poem that I begin each episode with, everyone has something to do with fire themed, or it has fire lyrics in it. And something about the Doors didn't feel right for tonight, but they're coming up. I'm going to be doing some Doors lyrics and some Hendrix poetry to open this stuff up pretty soon. Those are but tonight I was gonna just keep going the old school with the poetry fashion. Of course, most people aren't even familiar with classical poetry these days, and that's the problem, because poetry, again, there's so much time in life, and I'm talking about like seconds of the day. There's only so much time, and like we're falling away from a phase where classical education is valued. And if you know, if you want to be free, you need to have a classical education, without a doubt. It's the manner of the mind and the way that it works. The mechanics of it alone are irrefutable, indisputable, and necessary, but not sufficient. And part of the mechanics are understanding that one cannot speak words into their podcast whilst inhaling. But I do have the best listeners who are very patient and understanding. Or at least, hopefully, mildly as getting stoned as I should be. The point about doing this is to be able to interact with people live, as well as to keep up with updates. So part of the things that are coming over the show in the future, we have some exciting guests, and I mean exciting, and there's no need to. Anyway, so we also do have a special 13th episode coming up with the Six of Swords that will be with a special return guest. There's actually some mechanics of other things going on with doing this, but yeah, I'm excited. He wasn't going to be around for the last Six of Cups, and that was a pain because I love talking with him, but we will have a return guest coming around for the it's more than a year's anniversary. The year anniversary will be on the December episode coming up. Well, I suppose it is the year's anniversary, isn't it? That's the 13th episode. Never mind. Yes, it is. So he'll be coming around for a year's anniversary. That'll be the anniversary of the show. December 6th. So 2018, it began. 2019, we're going to be, wow, yeah, 13th episode. That's great. And a whole bunch of other ones. The Six of Cups has got a slew of them. A lot of them did really well this year. I was, you know, it's just like you create anything. It's like, you know, could go any way. And it's just like, holy crap. Some of these really astounded me. And I feel humbled and grateful and excited. It's only the beginning. This is truly in its infancy as a show. And I am only learning the ropes with how to do this. And I mean, it is what it is. I'm loving this. And the feedback I've gotten, no pun intended, has been very charming. Like I say, I have a face for radio. And I think a lot of people can appreciate that. So one of the nicest things that I got back was just that someone said that I really inspired them in their journey, and I kept them going. And just, you know, it's like, I don't know what to say to that kind of stuff, except for like, hopefully they make other people say that to them someday. That's probably the best thing to do with that. I think that's, yes, that's proper alchemy. I try to get out of my own way because Jesus Christ, you know, there's so many humans out there. So many, first of all, I could be wiped out in a minute, and you could be wiped out in a minute. Anyone could be. It's like the frailty of this. But at the same time, I don't expect that to happen. I think there's greater diviner forces that are like totally keeping things going in a certain direction. The moral arc of history, as Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about, I believe in. I do believe that there are alignments from bad to neutral to good. And I have no more need to speak on that. But the point is that I think that, you know, one of the main things we need to do these days with what we're talking about, if we can have an impact on society, get people to recognize that they are morally responsible. And let them choose. I'm not going to tell you what to choose, but the game's afoot. And at the same time, teach people that there, you know, you can choose, okay, let's call chaotic to lawful, like say lawful is like that old way of doing things, and chaotic's not, it's obviously chaos math principle, you know, that's where they came from. But anyways, it's more like the innovative approach. And this is obviously just, but it's at the same time saying that, like, we're going to do whatever it takes. And I want to encourage people, if what it takes for you is to embrace Greek Orthodox Christianity, if that's what it takes for you to do God's will, if that's how you're interpreting it, Godspeed, right? Whatever one source that made us all, and I do think it is ultimately, potentially, possibly, most likely, point probably entering a feminine aspect like Sophia, and then an architectural demiurgic, and then angels, cherubim, this, that, the other thing, tree of life. I don't know. I have no idea, really. But ultimately, I think that whatever I would say to someone else would be, I encourage you to explore without someone else. You might have a boss in your life. You might be the kind of person who has someone else who tells you what to do with your day, and that's how it goes. A lot of people in this reality do that. And to quote Jack White, to be someone who's an artist, you have to work three times as hard to make it something out of nothing. And I think that to circle back around that, you know, you could show up at a job and do what you're told, or, you know, do this, that, the other thing like that. But ultimately, if there's a place in your life where you need to express freedom, it is in your magical, your spiritual, if you're going to think it's that, psychological, you're not allowed to call it psychology. You're failing if you call it psychology. You're literally flunking you're literally out. You need to stand back up and try again. So it's whatever, your spiritual aspect, your religious aspect, call it what you will, I suppose, for now. I'm very fair about these things. It's the function that matters. And so ultimately, that's where you need to be free. Maybe from there, that job will become you. Not everyone's creating, right? We all have different place in reality. And I think that's very important to not besmirch another person's place. I think we all have a function to play. I think it's very sacred. It's really annoying how I used to be. Like, I used to have a very immature, like bland understanding of things. Now it's like, it's a hard world out there. You know what I mean? It's not easy. And I think that to respect people for their station in life, be they from what people perceive the left, the people perceive the right, doesn't matter. That spectrum is irrelevant when it comes to the compass, which is 360 around and another 360 up. This way you get the point. The radius is compassion throughout the whole thing. Now that matters because that is the golden rule, the compass that you use for the golden rule. Eh? That matters much more. And it's not pussy willow. You cannot have that. It is a sword and a shield. It is a give no shit, take no shit. But it is also ultimately for compassion. It is for the road of empathy, if you will. And it's, again, not to sacrifice overly, but there is an aspect of self-sacrifice. You see, the ultimate truth is this, yes, yes, this, this, and this. It's not so simple. See, if it was so simple, you would have already done it by now. You wouldn't even need to be listening to this. And this is the whole point. Making myself irrelevant. Literally. I don't have to do this show once we've got this all. We're chilling on the beach with Mai Tais. Or for some people, some kind of like, whatever. But anyways, be nice. It'll be nice. It will. And I'll probably still do the show. We'll just be talking about the Mai Tais. We talk about the waves and the gulls and the beautiful sun on the water, yes? Not even just that. Maybe we'll do us a favor, do it from a snow cabin. I mean, it's getting cold as get out, but, you know, I suppose I appreciate it. Even if winter is coming. How funny is it that that came and went? Jesus. Look at all the pressure behind something. Game of Thrones is an excellent example of this. All of that pressure building up, just like the wall, the show itself. I mean, really? And what were they running on? The Battle of the Bastards. You get there, it's just grinding and grinding. It's like, this is what we're reduced to, literally? I don't know. All right, the show's getting long in the teeth if I'm starting to talk about Game of Thrones. That's a sign that the show's getting long in the teeth. Let's get over here and see what time it is. Oh, sweet. I did this for at least an hour? Oh, excellent. That's what I... Yes, I am a professional, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit, it's true. It's true. It's weird. Professional writer, professional musician, professional artist. I consider this part of my art. My calligraphy, too. Oh, my God. That's something that's going to be fun coming up. That's going to be really fun. And for those who listened to the show this evening, I think we had a few different people at different points tune in live. As I like to do, you guys have an award or reward or, I don't know, some kind of positive award waiting for you. So that'll be determined. But as always, we attach it to the VFE RPG. So there are perks to listening live. So when people create their characters, eventually they will be able to have, for, I'm just going to use a case point and example. For the first episode, I believe it was Jake who got the apocalypse sword or something like that. Jesus, that's the way I'm working that one out is going to be ridiculous. But anyways, so yeah, guys, for now, that's about it for the housekeeping. And this has been the fourth episode of the Six of Wands. This is live call-in, participatory catch-up. When there's greater detail going on with the Value for Value role-playing game, we'll have a place to check in and do different camps and encampments and things and moving the game forward as well. So there's a lot of things that are coming down the pipeline that are really exciting. I'm really grateful and humble and excited to have such a wonderful show, a wonderful concept, wonderful people who listen to it. It draws really interesting people. And you'd be surprised who likes tarot. Like, not who you'd expect. It's interesting. JP Morgan, quoted as saying that millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. So I have a lot of love and gratitude for those who listen to the show and who do donate to the show. You guys are really helpful. A lot of you guys are under the amount that get mentioned, and I appreciate that. For those who do want to donate, all you do is go to paypal.com. You know how to do it. Cultfan@gmail is my name. And you will, if you want to, shout out, put a little note in that donation window, and you'll get it read. If it's above or otherwise, yes, I see some of your lovely notes in there, and I do appreciate those too. Everyone's crazy nice. It's really sweet. And some of you are really funny. I've never noticed certain things. And anyways, yeah. It's the strangest way things work out sometimes. Anyways, so thank you for listening to the Six of Wands. This is a show about shows and a stuff about stuff. You can tell I just want to leave now, because now I'm just, let's go. I'm going to hit the button and we're going to be done. I get to go. Guys, the Six of Discs is coming up after this. And don't forget, again, exciting Six of Wands coming up next month too. We're going to have some crazy stuff happening live. Then I'll be in December around Yule. So that's an important time of the year. And we're going to have a really fun live episode there. It would be bereft of me to say that it would be, I'm not going to say, I'm going to let you just see. It's going to be good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And we're going to let my awesome guitar track play us out. Thank you for listening to the Six of Wands.
Oh, man. That was fun. Well, thank you for those who were there live. As always, you get to experience the benefit in the value for value role-playing game. One of the perks that I can offer for the live presence, if you so wish, in addition to the very first obvious having access and talking and being there live. Just because you log in doesn't mean necessarily you get called onto the show, but sometimes there will just be the right moment, and I really do rely on Kismet a lot, as much as I do pre-planning when it comes to who gets called onto the live Six of Wands. So for now, thank you so much for listening. This has been the fourth episode of the Six of Wands, and I really liked the Percy Bysshe Shelley poem at the beginning, The Cloud. Love that. It's really great. And I guess without any real further adieu, I love you guys. I truly do. Here's to the upward spiral of the Great Turn. Cheers.